listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
How many of you have ever made a comment? It may go something like this. You've had an experience with the Lord, and it's kind of top of the rung of the ladder experience. And you say in your heart of hearts, I just want more of Jesus. I just want to spend more time with Jesus. I want to connect in a real, tangible way with Jesus in my life. Actually, we sang it a little earlier in this service, more love, more power in my life, Jesus. So we've been expressing that concept already throughout this service. Well, you may have said that. I've heard a lot of people say that over my life. I would like to say this. This morning, you are in the right place. Because I want to address that subject. How you can have more power, more of Jesus' love, more of Him, and live close to Him every day, 24/7, and just experience the dynamics of God fully and really in your life. I do believe that is the normal Christian life. Anything different would be substandard. And I think the season is over for substandard Christianity. I really don't know how much you have been keyed into what the events in the Middle East are like over the weekend, but it's ramping up in my spirit this morning, throughout this weekend, it's been ramping up the concept or the idea that we better take life pretty seriously, because there are things that are taking place around us that are completely out of our control, and it's pretty important for us to have our lives square center with the Lord and draw our families into that kind of lifestyle. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about that. But first, let me say, I'm still caught up with a lot of the events that brought us into the Passion Week. You know what I mean by the Passion Week. It's the week leading up to the resurrection of Jesus. You do know that Jesus spent 40 days on the planet visiting, encountering, addressing as many as 500 people before he ascended to heaven to be on the right hand of the Father. But during that time frame of what we call the Passion Week, Jesus does a lot of things. It starts out with him dining in Bethany. You remember the story? He shows up at Lazarus's house with Mary and Martha. And we see there that Mary anoints Jesus' feet with costly perfume. Of course, that was the moment that Judas took offense. How many know that even in the presence of Jesus, offenses can take place? That still baffles me, but it can happen. And in this case, Judas takes offense, and he begins the betrayal process. Track with me. Next, Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey. We talked about that over the course of the last weeks. And that was known as the triumphant entry. And for Jesus, this was a very public moment. And it sets up the entire week leading up to the crucifixion, the eventual death and burial, and finally the resurrection of the Lord. This final leg in Jesus' earthly journey takes on significance, I think, because it marks that point in time when things start to get pretty intense around the life of Jesus. And things are only going to ramp up from that moment on. And as for his disciples, whether they realized it or not, there was no turning back for them either. How many have ever come to a place in your spiritual journey when you've kind of come to that bubble moment and you say, there's no turning back? What's back and what's over there is not going to be of any consideration. I'm just going to press on in where God's leading and directing me. So everything that Jesus taught and put into practice was beginning to take on reality. And it was like the rubber meets the road moment for the 12. That in any great endeavor, there comes that point in time, and you may have had it in your life, a point in time after all the planning, after all the buildup, all the cheerleading, the dream casting, it's just time to get on and go to work. Time to just do it. For 3 years, Jesus has been teaching and demonstrating what it's like to be in a relationship with God. 3 years, he's bringing his disciples along to this moment. And I think he's trying to coach them into a dependent relationship upon him and teach them what it means to abide in his presence. And I think we can learn from that. In reading scripture, we see that Jesus is not shy about inserting this expectation on our Christian life. So if you would, turn to John chapter 15. I'm going to read a single verse out of the English Standard Version. And Jesus makes this statement. He said, if you keep my commandments, I'm going to try to help you understand what that means this morning, because that little phrase can terrify a lot of people. I'm going to take the terror out of that statement, if I can this morning, and help you. If you keep my commandments, Jesus said, you will abide in my love. How many want to get there? You want to abide in his love. This is Bible speaking to us now, church. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments. Whoa. Jesus kept his Father's commandments, and he abides in his Father's love. I think this is pretty significant. If we are warm to the whole idea of finding joy in Jesus and walking closely with him, living in the full blessings and privilege of a relationship with him, that's great. But let's not forget the part about keeping his commandments. That translates into simply obeying him. And the air kind of sucks out of our balloon at that point. Obedience is like the fine print that we click past on our way down to downloading a program. You've done it. I've done it. Obedience is like a dull, quiet Tuesday afternoon, which is way beyond the boisterous excitement of the last weekend. And still further from the distant hope of the next weekend, if you live from weekend to weekend. Obedience, you say. You really don't like that word. But I want you to know this morning, that is what Jesus says it's going to take to abide in his love. Or to be in that place of being close to him at all times. Do we really want to be close to Jesus at all times? I have to admit there have been days in my life where I've been in and out of that posture. Anybody identify with that? But I think we can stay close to Jesus. I think we can warm up to Jesus. And we can stay in a meaningful relationship. But there's a very, very key ingredient here that we need to take note of. We may have missed the boat. However, on what it truly means to be obedient to Jesus. And we've turned that into a to-do list, which now translates into a form of legalism. And anything that Jesus imparts isn't legalism, it's relationship. So let's get to how we can have a meaningful relationship. See, we've turned obedience into a juggling act. That's where the energy we expend to keep all these balls of sinlessness in the air as and it becomes a trick to maintain these, but only for short bursts of time. And then when one ball drops, our whole rhythm is shot, and soon we drop another, then another, and then bang, bang, bang. You know what's happened. It's hit you. We can't do this, which usually looks like us getting pretty frustrated at that point in time in our Christian journey, discouraged at how far short we fall in trying to live like Jesus. Because living like him is not only difficult, I want you to know it's impossible. You'll never live like him in the flesh. He rose, let me put it this way. Jesus did not rise from the dead so he could watch you try to be more like him. He rose from the dead so he could live his life through us. That's huge. Let me say it again. I've got it in my notes so I can repeat it pretty verbatim. Jesus did not rise from the dead so we could watch ourselves try to be more like he could watch us try to be more like him. He rose from the dead so we could live his life. He could live his life through us. You see, he gives us grace, the same grace that he gives us to come into a relationship with us is the same grace that he sanctifies or separates us to live like him. So you're no more capable of taking one obedient step with Jesus as a believer than that of saving yourself. It's not an act of works on our part. So here's the best news that you're going to get all day. Okay? I don't care if your favorite guy wins the Masters tournament today. This is going to be more important and more valuable than that. And some of you are saying, Masters what? We'll talk after the service, okay? The secret to abiding is obeying. But abiding is what leads to obeying. Let me give that again. The secret to abiding, to staying close to Jesus, to resting, to pressing into Him, the secret to that is obeying. But abiding is what leads us to obey. Obedience doesn't come from willing yourself into practicing a more Christian-like behavior, leading to how strong you are, or declaring what you'll never do again. When Jesus commands our obedience, He is actually only asking us to draw closer to Him. Everything else takes its normal and natural place. To remain at rest in Him and to push all your burdens onto Him, that's all He's asking you to do. So leaning into your relationship with Jesus will permit new strength that comes from Him. It's a daily exercise of learning to trust Him with your life. Lean into Him. Our brain takes over. We try to figure out how we're going to do this another way. But Jesus has showed us the way. And that's where all of our energy needs to be found, in how we're going to lean into Him. Romans chapter 8, verse number 8, says it this way. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, if we try to do this on our own, in our own strength, we're going to fail miserably. And it doesn't really score with God either. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, is the statement of spiritual fact. That is as true for us as believers as for those who are yet to become believers. And it's this: as you receive Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I want to give you this morning three parts to intimacy with Jesus. Three parts. Because I think this is what this whole service was sort of like. We were enjoying the goodness of God in worship and pressing into the presence of the Lord. God's presence has been in this room from the very, very beginning. And I think it's in the hearts of each person here, or most people, that we want to press into Jesus and we want to stay close to Him all the time, or for as much as we're conscious of that. So let me give you three parts to staying close to Jesus. The first is simply abiding. Abiding is directly contingent on obedience to Jesus and His Word. Have you lived this Christian life long enough to know that there was a day, a moment, when you were enjoying your walk with Jesus, and then you allowed some compromise in your life? Then you look around and say, where did Jesus go? He left. He left the room. He left your life. Or didn't leave your life, but the closeness of His presence just isn't there like it was once before. You see, there is something subtle that happens on the obedience factor of us staying close to God, staying obedient to Him in His Word. And if you want intimacy with Jesus, you're going to have to find out what this book is saying. And you're going to have to make some application with His help into your life. It's going to touch every area. It's going to touch how you do life, how you invest your time with Him. It's going to affect your family, how you actually parent. Some of you are stuck in a parenting mode that isn't really a biblical parenting mode. And so you're going to get yourself high-centered on some of that. Finances is another area. You got to look at your finances, because Jesus talked more about finances in the New Testament than many other subjects. That was a big deal to him. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So that's directly related. So how you do life, how you actually work at the job. I mean, do you get failure grades for your work ethic? I think the Christian, the believer, the follower of Jesus should be the best employee in the building. I think that's the way it works. And all of these are kingdom values, and we find that recorded in this book. It teaches us how to live this life. And if we will apply those values to our life and obey Jesus in all of that, He warms up to us. He draws close to us. We make Him proud when we live the way of the Father. If that verse could come back up on the screen, it's how Jesus lived His life. He obeyed the commands of the Father. How many know Jesus did the Father proud for 33 years? Jesus did not embarrass the Father. Jesus was close to the Father. And I think these two entities go together. So, the first part to intimacy with Jesus is learning to abide. Learning to stay in His presence. And that is largely accomplished with how we have learned to obey what He said to do. Even at 12 years of age, Jesus reminded mom and dad, Joseph and Mary, do you remember that statement? I must be about my Father's business. Remember that? He didn't want to get in the way. He didn't want anything to get in the way of how He related with the Father. And that's a lesson for us. If we want to be in an abiding relationship with Jesus, we've got to be very much on our game to figure out what is important in our life and what is not important and what contributes to this closeness that we can have with Jesus. Number one. Number two, the second is obeying. So we've got abiding on the whiteboard. Now we're going to put obeying on the whiteboard. Obeying is simply this: putting into practice what is stated in God's Word. And in my opinion, our disobedience contributes to a disconnect. You see me hobbling around here, and I apologize because it's a little awkward for me to be in front of you in this way. But the truth be known, January the 2nd, I slipped. And it was a simple slip. I wasn't running. I wasn't going anyplace in a hurry. I just took a step and slipped in a rainstorm. And I went down, and when I went down, I was thinking, oh, my word, this could be a stumble. And then in the middle of that quote-unquote stumble, I said to myself, this is going to be a fall. This is how my mind is going. This is going to be a fall. So I braced myself, and I went down for a fall. And I laid there for a while. And these are my exact words. This is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. I had no clue what I was saying, but I did know this is not going to be good. I tried to get up, and that was a little difficult. It was painful. I hobbled to my computer, and I tried to do all the armchair doctor stuff you know what to do. You start looking up things on the internet, because that's the source of great knowledge. And I began to try to become aware of what was happening in my body. Well, the internet didn't give me the full answer. But I did think I could self-cure. And you've seen me for the last 2 months, 3 months, hobbling around. The pain did go away to some measure. I went to see my doctor finally. And he said, will you? And this is really what I said. I said, I need a, why are you here? Well, I need a referral to physical therapy. So I'm still doctoring myself. You get that? So I need a referral to physical therapy because I'm feeling that I don't have mobility in my leg like I once had. Well, let's take a look at this. He did not give me a referral to physical therapy, I might add. He did, though, order an MRI. So I did get an MRI after about a month, and the MRI, I'm going somewhere with this, says your Achilles is ruptured, it's severed. There's a disconnect, that's the word I'm looking for here. There's a disconnect in my Achilles, in the top portion and the bottom portion. So that's what we're going to fix on Friday morning. Reconstructive surgery, and they're going to put in a speed bridge, which means drilling holes in my heel and connecting this thing together. And they said it's going to be the Aaron Rodgers Achilles surgery. Well, I don't care what they call it, as long as it gets fixed, because I got a disconnect here. Now, I'm saying that in our spiritual journey, if we're not putting into practice, obeying what God says in His Word, there's a disconnect. Your Achilles is severed. Your leg, your foot doesn't work the way it's supposed to work. It's disconnected. Do you get that in your mind? So in our spiritual life, there's this element of abiding in Christ, which I said is where we find our intimacy, our joy, our peace, our well-being. But it's deeply, deeply connected to our obedience, our obeying. And when we fail to obey, there's a disconnect. You just fell. And it's more serious than you thought it was. It could affect you long term if you don't get it fixed. How many are getting my drift here? Our spiritual life is the most important thing we do. It's more important than whether I walk with a limp or without a limp. And I hope to walk without a limp. That's pretty important to me. He said, I'll be able to play golf in the summer. That's even more important to me. But the point that I'm trying to make, if we don't take care of the disconnect in our spiritual life, how many know this is going to hamper us for all of our days? And we want to be close to Jesus. If I sat any believer down and we sat across the table from each other and said, do you want to be close to Jesus? You want more of Jesus? Absolutely, I want more of Jesus. Who in their right mind wouldn't want more of Jesus? But we've got to make the connection, folks. If we want this walk with Jesus, we got to take stock of what's in here and make the ready application to our life. And that's called obeying. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We've made obedience a drudgery. But it's not. That brings me to the third part, which is, it's not a juggling act. You don't have to learn a whole bunch of skills and how to juggle the laws of God. Just get close to Jesus. He'll help you. His Holy Spirit will guide you. He'll lead you. He'll promote in you what you need to know and what you don't need to know. No juggling skills required, simply rest in Christ. How many like that? Resting in Him. So today, let's ask the Lord to draw us near to Him. It's only by His grace applied that we can experience true nearness to Him. Always bear in mind the cost of disobedience. Your disobedience, if not addressed, can put you on a wandering path. And you better hope that your spiritual GPS is working. Because it can be a lot of long, dark days and nights. Because it'll interfere with intimacy in our relationship with the Lord. Second thing, deal with any human and known disobediences. You got to deal with that stuff. And have a ready heart to just say, okay, Jesus. Okay, Lord. Don't get in a contest with Jesus. Learn to have a ready heart to respond. I get the feeling right now that the Lord may be putting His finger on some things in your life. I've got reader glasses on. I can see really close here, but you're a blur through my reader glasses. So when I say I believe that the Lord is working in your life, it isn't because I can make out your facial expressions. I just know that the Lord would be working. It's just His way. I think His presence is here to draw us near to Him. And then my last little point here is this. Once we've dealt with any known disobedience, from there watch how your abiding takes you to a new level. A new level with Jesus. So it goes like this. How many know these levels? And by the way, these levels just keep going and going and going until you're more and more like Jesus. Stand with me, would you please? I hope you've been able to learn this morning a little bit of how to improve your intimacy with Jesus. For sure, I'm not trying to say that we're all backslidden and we're all hellbound. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we are at a place in our journey where we want more of Him. And where we've been is fine, but where we want to go is even greater and more special. I want us this in the last, close this way if you would. Just lift your hands and hearts to the Lord. Worship team, just take us into intimacy with Jesus right now. And from that launching pad, may it lead us and give us a fresh start to ascend His presence and stay in His presence. Learn what it is that He's asking us and asking of us to represent Him. Let's just worship Him. Lift your hands and let's draw into His presence.
More love, more power, more power, more of You in my life. More love, more power, more of You in my life. More love, more power, more of You in my life.
And penetrate the walls of our hardness. And give us that brand new beginning here today. Show us what the pathway looks like, and that we will be ready to make adjustments and changes. And help us to understand your words. When you said, if we keep your commandments, you will abide, we'll abide in your love. You set the pace, Jesus. You said you kept your Father's commandments and you're abiding in His love. It's a good order. Today, Lord, we take the plunge. We make the commitment. We turn our affection to you.
Lord, for you are our Lord.
musicians are going to play on for a little while here longer, but if you must go, I just want to say this. This atmosphere, come on, listen to me for a second. This atmosphere is what our young adults experience on a weekend, week out basis. And they go for hours. How many know that's a great cultural shift in this church? Pursuing Jesus. And I want to commend you for your heart's devotion toward Him. He'll never disappoint you. If you must go, the service is dismissed, but if you want to linger for a little longer,
listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.